when it came time for me to choose a college, I had no idea what I was doing. For reasons I still can't explain, I chose to go to the University of Nebraska at Kearney, at least until I recognized my mistake. Kearney is a town in the middle of Nebraska. I grew up in Omaha, a city on the east edge of Nebraska. Now you might laugh, thinking, what's the difference? It's a flyover state. But to most of my classmates, I was a city slicker. So I regularly made the drive, 2.5 hours down I-80, 2.5 hours at 80 miles an hour, with a steady stream of semi-trucks passing by. And each time a truck passed, the powerful winds blowing across the plains of the oxymoronically named Platte River Valley would disappear. Those winds, blocked by the massive 18-wheeler once it passed, would then reappear with more force than ever, sending my little Honda Accord swerving. Now, I couldn't swerve too far because my tires were firmly embedded in grooves, grooves like wagon tracks on the Oregon Trail that I-80 follows, grooves pressed into the concrete by the tires of those heavy semi-trucks. I made this drive, often over a mixture of ice and snow and gravel and salt, to leave a city with plenty of educational options, and to arrive in a cow town where one of the main forms of entertainment for my classmates, and I'm not exaggerating here, was hunting raccoons. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. One time I missed the exit for Kearney. This was especially frustrating because I-80 exists mostly for big trucks to drive through Nebraska. It's not so much for the sparse scattering of people living in Nebraska to get from point A to point B, which means there aren't a lot of exits. So if you missed the exit for Kearney, that added a bunch of time onto the end of what was already a long trip. You had to drive another 12 miles past your destination, get off the interstate, turn around, get back on the interstate, and drive back another 12 miles. So we're talking at least an extra 20 minutes tacked onto a 2.5 hour drive if you missed that exit. It was the kind of mistake that you only made once, and it was a good lesson in path dependency. The concept of path dependency states that once you go down one path, it becomes difficult or impossible to go down another path. You have passed the fork in the road. Our lives are full of path dependencies. If you eat a bunch of donuts in the afternoon, you won't have room for a healthy dinner. If you go to one party, you can't go to another. A single moment can be the difference between dying young or living another 50 years. Matters of life and death are the ultimate path dependency. In other words, path dependency is really, really important. It's important to making decisions, and it's important to designing your behavior. One area of life where path dependency has a big impact is with the devices that we use. Take your mobile phone, for example. Think of your mobile phone as like I-80 running through central Nebraska. Once you get on the interstate, once you touch your phone, at what exit will you get off? There's Facebook Parkway, or there's Kindle Boulevard. There's Meditation Timer Square, or there's Twitter Plaza. There's Instagram Alley, or there's Scrivener Circle. Like any interstate, once you get off at an exit, it takes some time to get back on the road. If you miss an exit or take the wrong exit, it will take you a little longer to get where you're going. There are often multiple ways to get to your destination. I remember one time I drove home from college on an old highway instead of the interstate. This seemed outrageously adventurous at the time. The highway is slower, it's more narrow, it cuts through towns. Part of me wondered if I'd ever make it home. Yet it turned out to be a nice drive. It took longer to get home, but not much longer, and I didn't have to deal with so many 18-wheelers. It was probably a safer drive. This ties into the grippy and slippy tools I was talking about in episode 230. Sometimes speed isn't the most important thing. Less time isn't always more better. Choosing the right road to take is important for designing your behavior so you can do more of what matters to you and less of what doesn't matter to you. But once you're on that road, path dependency also matters a lot. You don't want to take the wrong exit. If you want to go down Scrivener Circle and get some writing done, it's a problem if you accidentally pull into Instagram Alley. If you're trying to settle in for the night to read a book on Kindle Boulevard, it's a problem if you take a detour on Facebook Parkway. And God forbid, if you mean to go to Meditation Timer Square, you instead end up in Twitter Plaza. This is why I'm a big advocate of divorce. No, not divorcing from a marriage, though if you need a divorce, get one. I mean divorcing your devices. A device divorce. When a marriage goes through divorce, you split up. You split up your possessions. You split up your assets. You divide custody amongst your children. You split up the paths. You say, that path I was going down, I don't want to go down that path anymore. A device divorce is where you split up your devices, the activities you do with your devices, the paths you can go down once you're on a device, you split them up. Let's say you have a computer, a tablet, and a smartphone. Each of these devices can do a lot of things. Just like you can get to one destination through many different roads, you can do one thing with each of these three devices. You can check your email with your laptop, your tablet, or your smartphone. You can use social media with your laptop, your tablet, or your smartphone. You can write a book on your laptop, your tablet, and yes, even your smartphone. But should you? Should you use each device you own to do every little thing each device can do? Fortunately, most of us don't evenly distribute all of our activities amongst all of our devices anyway. If we're going to write a book, we'll do it on our laptop. If we're going to make a call, we'll do it on our smartphone. If we're going to watch a movie, we'll do it on our tablet. But even though we don't evenly distribute all of our activities amongst all of our devices, we still do a little of everything on all of our devices. Maybe we do most of our social media on our phone, but we also do a lot of social media on our laptop. Maybe we do most of our email on our computer, but we also do email on our tablet. The problem with this is it exposes us to path dependency gone rogue. If we take a wrong turn, we end up on the wrong road. Once we're on the wrong road, it takes that much longer to get where we're trying to go. Think of it this way. You can do a lot of things with a toothbrush. You can scrub your teeth with a toothbrush. You can also scrub your toilet with a toothbrush. But would you scrub your teeth and your toilet with the same toothbrush? No! So why use the same device to do two things that are completely at odds with one another? Why surf the web with the same device you use to write? Why chat with your friends on the same device you use to meditate? You need to split up. You need a device divorce. You need to make it easy to get to the places you want to go and hard to take a wrong turn to the places you don't want to go. To begin a device divorce, try this exercise. Draw three columns on a piece of paper. At the top of each of the respective three columns, write laptop, tablet, and smartphone. Now, in the respective column, write down the activities that you primarily do on each of these devices. Do you see any contradictions? If you go down one path to do one of these things, will that take you farther and farther from another path to do another thing? Will it break your focus? Will it dampen your momentum? Will it alter your mental state to go down Instagram Alley instead of Scrivener Circle? If so, you aren't using your devices. Your devices are using you. Next, make a decision. Decide what activities you will do on each of the three devices. But just as important, decide which activities you will not do on each of these three devices. Me, I do most of my writing on my iPad with an external keyboard. I do not do email on my iPad. I do not do messaging on my iPad. I try to do as much email as I can on my iPhone, but I don't have Twitter or Facebook installed on my iPhone. I'd be taking wrong turns left and right. My laptop, I simply try to limit its usage as much as possible. My laptop is a slippy tool, too many side roads and detours. Your device divorce doesn't have to stop at your primary electronic devices. According to a poll I did on Twitter, 3 out of 4 of you already have an extra tablet or smartphone just lying around. These old devices often can't run the latest software, thank you, planned obsolescence, but just because a device can't do everything doesn't mean it can't do something. I have an extra iPad. It's so old I can't even run most apps on it, but I use this old iPad for listening to a relaxation recording by former guest Andrew Johnson. I use it for reading on the web, and I use it for reading PDF articles. I have a friend who has an old iPod Touch. When he works out, he listens to music and writes down his progress on the iPod Touch, but he knows he won't get interrupted by a message or a phone call, and he won't be tempted by social media. Love Your Work listener Adam Thomas told me he has a study nook in his apartment. In his study nook, he keeps an old laptop. He uses an app called Freedom to block any distracting websites on that laptop. That laptop is only for reading research. Fortunately, product designers are starting to create devices with specialized functions. I recently got a dedicated Kindle just for reading books. Our former Love Your Work sponsor, Off-Grid Mindfulness, has made an awesome meditation timer / alarm clock. And interestingly, you have to go back in time to get one of the best limited function devices. There have been some attempts to create dedicated word processors, but they still have too many functions and are too expensive for my tastes. I still love my old portable word processor, the AlphaSmart. It was originally intended as a cheap way for schools to teach typing, and it's unfortunately discontinued, so you have to buy them used. Get creative with your device divorce. Look at what functions are important to you, what detours you want to avoid, and what devices you have. Be intentional about what your devices do and don't do. You'll have deeper focus and do more of what matters and less of what doesn't matter. Thank you so much to our newest Patreon supporter, Elizabeth Camarena. Your support keeps this show going. Why support the show on Patreon? I asked Michael Nazari, and he said, "After following you for a couple of years, I've recently become more serious about loving my work and find your content incredibly valuable. The insights I glean from the podcast save me loads of headache and time, and also just make me realize I'm not alone. Feeling like I'm part of a tribe, since my social circle isn't really into this kind of thing, has become increasingly crucial. I used to prefer going at things alone, but the more I learn about our psychology, I'm realizing that being part of a community with similar values is important. Thanks for all you do, David." And thank you, Michael. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by our top Patreon supporters, such as Jeffrey Mason. The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Dorena from the album About Everything and More, by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.